You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Do you ever feel watched, as though every bit of data you use or search on the internet feeds an advertising beast that pollutes your newsfeed, your browser and your news? Well, business journalist Rod Oram is a man who is very interested in this topic. Big data, as it is known, will be the talking point for an information evening being hosted tomorrow night by Rod at AUT. I spoke to Rod about big data and asked him to describe to my very non-techie savvy self what big data actually is.
That big data is the concept of collecting vast volumes of information and then being able to analyze it and then put it, that analysis, to good use. And whilst we've been doing that with technology for a long time, what's happening now is we are creating so much data in all the applications and programs we use, and we've got ways of analyzing it more powerfully than ever before.
And what are the impacts of big data? What can we use this for?
They can be used for a vast range of, you know, good purposes. So for, where we're focusing this discussion on Thursday night is in two respects. First of all, in government policy. So Bill English, when he was finance minister, was very enthusiastic to develop a much better understanding of who are the people really in need around the country, that the government could then focus its social investment in. And so there were pilot projects, for example, on young single mothers, for example, and how the government could better come around them and help them. So that's a very important concept of social investment, and he called it then and still calls it now as Prime Minister one of the biggest reshapings or sort of revolutions in the way we governments allocate money in budgets. Then there's of course the business side of this, where business is using big data more and more to able to understand who its customers are, what they want, how it can best serve them. So we've also got that theme in the evening's discussion. And then lastly, I as a journalist and others are very interested in how we as journalists and media use big data. And so we've got Keith Ung, who's one of our very best investigative data journalists, on the panel as well. So that'll be the three main focuses of our discussion on Thursday evening.
So you say that Bill English has used this to get a good grasp of what's happening in different communities and different demographics throughout New Zealand. Are there any negative effects that big data can have, especially with policy?
It can be huge. If the way that analysis is conducted and used goes off the rails. A terrific book that I read last year called Weapons of Mass Destruction by a terrific American writer, Kathy O'Neill, who is herself a mathematician, explored the good side of algorithms, the complex formulas that are the heart of big data, and where they go horribly wrong. So she gives in that book all sorts of examples. So we need to be incredibly mindful about how we do this. The problem that becomes, though, that where an organization, say a company or a government department or whatever, puts a lot of effort into developing that algorithm, developing that analysis, and then considers it its proprietary intellectual property that it doesn't want anybody else to look at because it's put all the investment into it, and therefore the people who are affected by that analysis don't know quite why the analysis has arrived at the conclusions it has, that's a real problem. So there is no easy answer to that at all, and governments, business, society are still struggling with that. So we've got an awful lot to do to make sure that the way we use, with the way we collect data and the way we use data, safeguards some fundamental rights of people, but is also pretty transparent about how it's working, so we don't get any unintended consequences going on.
Yeah, and with the business thing, I feel like, especially with social media and things like that, we are, it's almost like our minds are polluted with this constant feeding of information that is directed towards us. And I mean, is that effective big data that we're getting this like really specific directed advertising and things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll give you an example of that. In my own case, I read the New York Times online a couple of times a day, and the Washington Post. The other day, I was targeted by an ad for a from a major car dealer here in Auckland, but specifically for hybrid vehicles. Now, it obviously knows something about my choice of cars. I'd never been a customer of this particular company. And so somehow it knew something about my choice of cars. I've got, in my family, we've got one electric vehicle and one plug-in hybrid because I'm very keen on having minimum carbon emissions. And I sort of went, whoa, how did they know that and why are they targeting me? So that's exactly an example of people using big data.
Spooky,
and
really.
I don't like that. I absolutely don't like that at all.
It feels like we're constantly being watched. I mean, like you say, it does have its own benefits in its own way, but it's sort of, where do we draw the line is my question here.
Yes, and that's a conversation that all of us in society need to be involved in, and we can't possibly leave it to something that's sort of squirreled away deep in the heart of tech companies. This is a subject that needs to an awful lot of explanation because it is complicated. But as a journalist, I'm a great believer in that it is absolutely impossible. It is absolutely possible, and indeed very desirable that we find ways to talk about complicated things, but in ways that are true and factual and fair to those issues, but are also very accessible to people. And this is, you know, absolute classic area that we need to be able to work that way.
Would you say that the power of the system is in the hands of big tech companies? And do you think what needs to happen is it needs to be brought into the social sphere more and more into the public eye?
Well, certainly there is enormous work going into this from very big companies. So, for example, Facebook has an incredibly efficient artificial machine learning function, as it calls it, which goes to the heart of this. But of course, the other thing about it is that the technology of this is very accessible to all sorts of people who want to use it. So you don't have to be, you know, a global colossus like Facebook to be able to do this. You know, many of these tools you can develop yourself or get off the shelf or use proprietary systems that people, you know, rent out for these purposes. This is very accessible to a lot of companies or organizations, even down to very small ones. So there is an ubiquity now to this, which I think many people in society have find, you know, are beginning to realize.
That's bloody terrifying.
Yes, it is. However, there is sort of another side of that, is that we've got to solve some incredibly complicated problems. Now, another one of my particular issues or focuses is on ecosystems, as in natural ecosystems, you know, the living planet.
Yeah, yeah.
They are fundamentally, you know, I mean, they're phenomenally complicated. And therefore, the ability to organize just mind-boggling amounts of data and understand better the relationship between factors in that is incredibly important. So to me, it is fabulously useful technology, but also which we need, but it's also fabulously dangerous technology if it goes off the rails.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.